Crime Report, sponsored by Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's where all calls kept confidential. And in some cases, a monetary reward issued. $5,000, sometimes larger, for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired sergeant, NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College. Author of the Criminal Investigative Function, a Guide for New Investigators, edition number 4. Joe is finished, I do believe, working on number 5, and highly decorated member in the day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to you, Sarge. How are you, Joe?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Hanging in there, my friend. Hanging in there. Let's start with the Axeman. Another example of a dangerous individual not being held, not being evaluated properly. Listen, it could have been a lot worse, but what's worse is an individual of this nature left back out on the streets because of very soft laws, and we continue to cite examples and very little response as far as officials here. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's an example. Let's say if there was an off-duty police officer on the scene or an armed citizen in there, totally justified in shooting this guy. I mean, this is what we're coming down to now. And then that would have been a whole bunch of hoopla there. But listen, this guy was giving interviews, posted on Instagram afterwards, thanking everybody like he's a celebrity now. This is the kind of thing. Well, first of all, if I was his defense attorney, I would tell him that he's got to knock this off because it's not helping his case here. But you know, the issue that comes down to is that the criminal justice system is turning into a joke. Or if it's not a joke already, it's like every day there's some other story out there. This one is just the same thing. Like it's always menacing all these people. The charges basically get dropped and he gets released on bail within hours later. It's absolutely nuts. It really is.
It really is. And, you know, Kathy Hochul can do whatever she wants, you know, as far as, you know, being directly involved here, trying to find out answers, but she has an answer. You know, we all know what the answer is. And the answer is, you know, to get rid of people who are not doing their jobs, and that of prosecutors, and that of, you know, specifically a guy like Alvin Bragg, you know, who's not doing his job, is part of a conglomeration of what we have seen in this country of individuals who have the very power to incarcerate individuals. But you know what? Because of the nature of it all, he does not, judges do not have the authority to hold an individual like this Palacios, who should have been locked up. He's a dangerous guy. You're not allowed to use that word as far as an evaluation is concerned. So here we go again, Joe. I tell you, we get one of these every other day, it seems.
No, I mean, and yesterday it seemed as if, or the last couple of days, it seemed as if there were plenty of stories out there. It's just, I'm tired of hearing people say it's anecdotal. It's not anecdotal anymore. Give me a break with this stuff. Every day there's something there. They just released all kinds of new information on bail reform. It's not working. You can say whatever you want. The Times Union up in Albany can write as many op-eds and editorials as they think they can and try to massage the data, but it's not working. But the issue that comes down to is that people still need to go out and vote, because if they don't, we're going to see something like the Safety Act that's happening out in Illinois now, where everybody, including murderers, are released immediately back into society. I mean, that's where they headed in Illinois, and we'll be heading there in New York too.
And listen, people need to be held accountable here. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's, you know, the biggest election year I've said the state has ever seen. It's not being run properly. The city right now is deserted. Those who are in there are scared to death to walk the streets. You can't even. You know, like you said, the only way to make a difference, the only way to get back to some sort of normal fashion here is to elect people who care about safety. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about, because people don't believe recidivism. They don't believe the rearrest rate and everything else. And that's one of the biggest parts. of everything here, you know, is the fact that those who are arrested and let back out in the street create a lot of the same type of situations for people. They're involved with the same heinous acts of criminal activity. And that is not to be recognized at this point, which is very tough to ascertain. This is how people wonder why, you know what, how do we fix this? The only way to fix it is to get people who feel that there's nothing wrong, get them out. Because they're not in the reality mode right now, you see? That's the only way to do it, Joe.
Well, I think that there's a lot of people that still haven't experienced this, but we're seeing this kind of behavior also out on Long Island and upstate New York. It's not just New York City. So this bail reform is actually hurting places like Nassau and Suffolk because they have to release people immediately and they're back on the streets, and some of them are recommitting crimes and causing more harm. And we have a story about that later on. We're going to talk about it. I mean, it's just it's absolutely nuts.
Crime report. Let's get into a couple of storylines here where you have a drug dealer from Long Island admitting to selling fentanyl to an addict who fatally overdosed on the drugs. It was during a terrible one here with a virtual narcotics anonymous meeting. This all happened, but this 33-year-old Vito Fabrizio with a plea of guilty yesterday into the death of a man, a 51-year-old, the victim here, Frank Cairo, Joe. This was a guy who was working to turn his life around. And this is what happened. He was found dead on his bed by his living girlfriend. This was back in March. And that's where police recovered a couple of bags of fentanyl, a mixture of fentanyl and heroin. I mean, you and I have spoken about this stuff for a long time.
Right. Well, here's the case I was referring to a second ago. Right. So here you have this guy. He gets arrested for selling this fentanyl. This guy dies, and he wasn't charged with any bailable offenses, according to the prosecutor. So he was immediately released. Then here we go again. Right. So he's on what they call a quote unquote supervised release, right? Community supervision, which someone still needs to help define this for me and tell me exactly what the community is supposed to be doing with these guys. But here's an example. So then he gets arrested for, guess what, selling more fentanyl, right? So, the district attorney, Tierney, called out the system again on this, saying that, like, what are we doing here, basically? I mean, this guy shouldn't have been out in the first place, and now he's out selling fentanyl again. It's not like we have an overdose problem anywhere, right, where, you know, people are dying left and right with this. We have more people dying from fentanyl overdose than car accidents. And then here we have a system developed in New York State here that basically says, well, you're not bail eligible, so have a nice day. Go back out and do what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, it's just, you know, after a while, it's exhausting, Jay. It really is. It's exhausting.
Of what we have seen around the country, especially in the Long Island region, of fentanyl that is just completely out of whack here, coming in and around. And look what it's doing right now. You know, I mean, the numbers and the overdose deaths and everything else. You know, this is another example of failing to recognize this this problem. And, you know, until we do, we're going to keep these numbers rising, you know, unfortunately. But this is a derivative of stuff that is coming through left and right from unsecured areas, mainly the border. And we have seen this permeate this country like no tomorrow. And especially in this region here on Long Island.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an epidemic. This is something that I can't believe how slow moving they are. And then they, you know, in New York City, opening up injection sites and giving out, you know, free needles and stuff like that is just, I don't know, it's mind boggling.
It's Joe Jacklin on the Crime Report. Joe, let's get into a couple other things here. A felon was released from prison last year. I think he did somewhere in the area near 30, I think it was 27 years, that's what it was, for murder. Busted. It was a new killing in Staten Island. This 45-year-old, Gene Chavis, he was arrested at his parole rep's office and charged with shooting a 61-year-old, Nadine Russell, to death at her home on Park Hill Avenue. This was on Wednesday. This was a guy who was on lifetime parole, by the way, after doing nearly three decades in a sling. You're back to 93 on this. Allegedly shot Russell in the head. Also shot a 43-year-old man she was friends with in the shoulder of her apartment. I tell you, you know, where is the observation? Where is the system here as far as somebody who is on parole, somebody who's supposed to be checked, you know, left and right here, Joe? What happened here?
Well, it's just it's a breakdown in the system here. I mean, you have life no longer means life in prison for killing somebody. We let somebody out. He's 45 years old. He said he's, you know, the parole board. You know, no one can hold the parole board accountable because they have absolute immunity, right? So this is directly related to Cuomo and Hochul, right? This is their parole board. No one ever questions that. Nobody ever brings this stuff up. And then, of course, now we have additional victims from this guy who we released and who was basically told us, the parole board, right, that this guy is safe to go back into society now. And then he kills one person, nearly kills the second one. But you know what? Where's the outrage here, right? Where's everybody screaming and yelling and everything else? And I guess if it's your family member, that would be a different story. But since it's somebody else's, it seems to just the story seems to fall on deaf ears. But these are the kinds of cases that we hear about every day. And you know, there's no outrage. There's no, what do you call it? I mean, what is it going to take? I know people say, well, it's not the 1990s yet, so it's not, crime is not so bad. I mean, do we have to wait till we get to 2,300 homicides before we figure out that there's something really wrong with the system? I mean, no, but I can tell you something right now. We're probably lost nearly 20 years worth of gains in the criminal justice system in New York now. I mean, that's how far back we're going. So we're almost in the 90s. 1999 will be that. And then people will be specific years, like it's not 1990, it's not 1992. Right, so they'll pick high water marks, but we're in a bad place, and it's descending pretty quickly down the slippery slope.
Question, Joe Jackal on the Crime Report. Joe, you ask a key question. What's it going to take? It's going to take when it happens to one's family. That's what it's going to take. You know, maybe the light bulb goes on in that regard. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence. And I'll tell you another thing. You know, this next one where you have a man accused of raping his teenage relative. I mean, you talk about a plea deal, a sweetheart of a plea deal, so to speak, from Alvin Bragg, and then went on to allegedly sexually terrorize five more individuals in the Bronx. And I'm talking just about a month later. Can you imagine this? This guy, folks, 25 years of age, was promised a plum 30-day jail sentence, along with 5 years of probation after he agreed in August to plead down to a charge of coercion in his Manhattan rape case. I mean, can you imagine this, Joe? This is, I mean,
we're
come on.
We're talking about rape. Yeah, we're talking about rape here. We're not talking about, you know, criminal mischief or, you know, somebody graffitied the wall or somebody stole a candy bar from the, you know, from the store. This is rape we're talking about. We're talking about 30-day sentences for rape. And, you know, and here he goes out and sexually assaults five other people. So, you know, when people say up in Albany that, you know, there's no evidence that bail reform is, you know, increased in crime. I said, here's a guy, one sexual assault. Now he had five more. So, yeah, the other guy, he's out on parole for murder somebody else. What are we talking about here? How many more now? How many more bodies? How many more sexual assaults? How many more people do you need to have before, you know, the public says, what's going on here? I mean, it's just after a while, and it's ironic because the numbers are just they're off the charts. Thankfully, murders and shootings are still down in New York City. That's great news. But everything else is terrible, including rapes up, you know, 10% for the year, and robberies are up 30-40%. I mean, the numbers are just you know, keep on going up. And those behind those numbers are real victims. And you got to remember something. There is still a dark figure out there, the numbers that we don't know, where people don't report things that are, I'm sure there's the crime situation is a lot worse than we even think.
It's stuff like this that just makes you, you know, makes you nauseous. It really does. I mean, can you imagine this? A 30-day sentence? Let's not forget the original charge of rape, folks. Rape. This guy, Washington, Justin Washington, his name is, could have gotten him locked up for up to 25 years if he was convicted. I mean, these are the type of so-called sweet deals. You know, you don't get any response. You know, that's the biggest problem here. You know, we used to have leadership where you get response. We don't have anything right now. It's really unbelievable. And let's not forget, you know, everybody says, you know, there's no recall in New York.
Nope.
There's recall in California. You saw what happened to Chase Boudin in San Francisco. Gascon has been hanging by a thread. I mean, in this state, the governor has the power to remove. But apparently she has the power to turn her head every time on this stuff. Okay? This is where she needs to be called out. And she has a blind eye to all this stuff, and it is still a pandering. This is what it's all about. You play this deadly game of political foot, and it's a deadly game, Joe. There's blood on hands here when you have situations like this. You know, I can't be more emphatic about the system right now. And we gave you four examples here, folks. Four examples of what's going on in this system.
That happened in 24 hours.
Joe?
Yeah. No, people need to understand that. The stories we're talking about didn't happen within, you know, a few months or a few years. They happened in the last 48 hours, 24, 48 hours.
That's what it's all about. I mean, it's just a very tough deal right now. And, you know, you just wonder what the end game has to be November the 8th. I mean, it's the only way, really. You get these people the hell out of office who are not keeping us safe. I mean, that's what it's all about. Joe, good stuff. Tough storylines. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Have a good one.
There you go. Crime Stoppers, Suffolk, 1-800-220-8477. That's where all calls are kept confidential, ladies and gentlemen.